Welcome to the EduBoxes podcast. In a three-part podcast mini-series, we will be hearing from experts on intercultural communication, virtual intercultural teams, and design thinking as a framework for solving complex problems. Virtual intercultural teams have the potential to develop better products due to their diversity. They enable companies to recruit the best talents within countries and beyond. Working in virtual teams can compensate for being in a disadvantaged location, and it may support a better work-life balance. However, to benefit from virtual intercultural teams, we need to be aware of the challenges they present and develop the necessary skills to manage them effectively. But what are some of the challenges of working remotely in intercultural teams, and what is needed to ensure they function effectively so that virtual intercultural teams can reach their full potential? These are questions I would like to discuss with Rüdiger Weisbach, Professor of Business Informatics, Digital Transformation and Business Models at the Hamburg University of Applied Sciences in the second episode of the EduBoxes podcast. So Rüdiger, from your perspective, why are virtual intercultural teams becoming so important in a work context?
The way we are working is changing. Years ago, people worked individually, and most of them worked in their group for a long time in a company with colleagues they know for years. Companies didn't had so much exchange to other companies, especially not to other companies in other countries with other languages. And this changed some years ago. It's the trend of globalization. And it's not only globalization in the meaning that people are working in different languages, but also with different cultures as a background, different cultures in communication, different cultures in the tradition of the products, in tradition of markets, and to communicate with each other, to communicate with strong results, it's necessary to learn and to work in such intercultural teams. And due to the distances, to the spatial distances, of course, a lot of such teams have to work in a virtual way.
So it's not only the global connectedness of markets, but also of teams even. So a team might be made up of people living in North America, in Southeast Asia, in Europe, wherever. So they bring in their different perspectives and backgrounds, but it's also the connectedness of markets and globalization in general. And then additionally, on top of that, there's virtual collaboration as a challenge in itself. So speaking to one another remotely, only being able to see each other's faces online with delays and everything.
Yes. I'm living in the north of Germany, and we see, for example, at a shipyard, shipyards are building ships for international markets, for the cruise industry. And, for example, the Meyer Werft builds ships for international companies. And of course, the customers, the direct customers are living globally, and the customers of the cruise industry, of course, they are living globally too. And so working local and to work for a global market means to work in an intercultural way.
And so all this entanglement creates lots of potentials for misunderstandings in teams, even using the same terminology, but maybe meaning different things by using that terminology might even come into place. What are some other challenges of working remotely in intercultural teams that you can think of that cross your path on a very regular basis?
I think that you have to know that you have to learn the way to work in a virtual way, to work intercultural. It's not complicated to start a telephone call or a video call to someone else in another country, but to work with this person is more difficult because you might have very different circumstances in the market, in the education, in the language, especially if you're both trying to talk English, for example, if you're a German and you want to collaborate with someone from West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to start a video session, but it's not easy mm-hmm. to come to results, to come to good results. But it's no rocket science, it's training.
Yeah. And when if I'm getting you right, it's also something that you, on the one hand, can learn. So there's a sense of optimism for everybody who's being challenged by working remotely. But on the other hand, you also need to invest some time and take some time to make it work, right? So
yes.
Even if you have vast experience and you've been working remotely and in intercultural teams for 10, 15, 20 years, each new team is a new challenge and you need to invest some time to make it work altogether, right?
Yes. When I started at the university or with academic work, of course, academic work is international, intercultural, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have such a training. And so if I remember the first years of working in this way, mm-hmm. it's, well, I had made some mistakes. I wasn't prepared for it. Really.
Yeah. That basically brings me to my next question that I also had in mind when thinking about this. So it seems to me that all the students that study at, for example, the Hamburg University of Applied Sciences, but all over the world, they need to be prepared for this kind of new work environment. And I was wondering, how good is higher education preparing students for this kind of work?
I think we have to differentiate between internationalization, intercultural communication, and virtuality. Internationalization is a topic for universities for some decades. And of course, students will go abroad for some month or so. It's not a problem. But mm-hmm. intercultural work is not only to go in another country and to learn something about other languages or to study in a group of other expats, for example, in Sweden or so, where all people are in a international course and no Swedish student is there because it's a course that was created only for international students as a business mm-hmm. model. The first very important thing is interculturality. And this is something, if we compare the situation in Germany now and 20 years ago, at the school, at the universities, we have a lot more of students with a background from other countries, from other cultures, and so. And so it's mixed up meanwhile a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you have to train this. And it's not only the language, it's these are other aspects of culture. For example, aspects of product quality. So the quality approach in one country might be different as a quality approach in another country.
Mm-hmm.
Same with flexibility. And I think the most interesting part is the virtuality. Most interesting because the difference between on-site and virtual meetings, I think it's not seen so clearly as the difference between different cultures or different languages.
Okay. So the mode of interaction basically has new affordances on the one hand, but it's also the training of students in diverse teams, in intercultural teams, maybe setting up learning groups, study groups that reflect the new work environment, and also at least giving some kind of feedback and knowledge that enable students to be sensitive for these kinds of different dimensions of intercultural work, right? So the different modes of interaction, cultures, expectancies of products, markets, and stuff like that. What I was thinking is the EduBox, Virtual Intercultural Teams, is a kind of practical training program designed for both the general public, but also for university students. And it has a quite academic background from what I can gather. So, but I was thinking, like, how does this course in specifics help develop the necessary skills to thrive in this kind of intercultural teamwork that we've been talking about? Like, what are the affordances of the EduBox on virtual intercultural teams for anybody who participates in that?
I don't see such problems. The WHO is an open online university, so the courses at WHO are available for everyone, regardless if he is a student, if he is working in an office, if he's working in as a craftsman or so. And it's open. So if you want to train it, you can use the EduBox. You can, for example, talk with colleagues to join and to do this. We are also engaged as Hamburg University for Applied Sciences in some transfer projects with the Chamber of Crafts and the Chamber of Commerce in Hamburg. And so we are also multipliers of these trainings. And we know that such trainings are very relevant for the chambers and for the members. And there is also a commercial market, of course, for trainings and industry companies are engaging special trainers to train their own people in doing such things. But the EduBox is an open offer, so everyone who wants can use it. And I think this is very important to lower the barrier to do this.
Sounds good. And it's also like, just to clarify, because I'm not sure if everybody listening in knows this, the WHO is the Hamburg Open Online University, which funded the EduBox program and the online courses entailed in the EduBox program. And if I got you right, the EduBox is not only rooted deeply in academia and research and scientific experience and knowledge, but also in practice and in high-skilled environments.
Yes, it's based in academia, but it can be used in other environments. I think it's a problem for companies who don't know it to start with it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the same thing for other offers of the WHO, and I know that the Hamburg Senate, the Hamburg political government, tries to make it more popular.
Part of that is this podcast, and I hope everybody listening in is curious about what the EduBox on Virtual Intercultural Teams entails and takes part and lets their colleagues know, their friends know about the EduBox, because the materials and the tests that you can take, everything that you can do there, really helps a lot in getting a grasp of working in virtual intercultural teams. Rüdiger, thank you very much for the conversation. It was great talking to you.
Thank you, Christian.
And have a great day. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
The EduBoxes podcast is part of a project by the Hamburg Open Online University. In our next episode, we'll talk to Erik Schumm about using design thinking to solve complex problems within diverse teams. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.